You can start my time and the tape. I want to get this last part about Tanya on the tape. That is, I really don't know Tanya that well, though I have met her once or twice up where she lives. But on the phone, she seems like one of the kindest people I could ever meet. And I think you'll see that in the way she speaks, that she's a kind person. And so I want to be very kind to her. I anticipate that's the way she will be to me. We can press our points and prove our positions without being ugly about things. We can be kind as we discuss our differences. Now recognize the fact that the Bible says in Matthew 15, verse 9, in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And if your worship is in vain, that means useless or worthless. You can't go to heaven like that. I believe Tanya teaches a commandment of men when she says that women can be preachers. It's a commandment of men because you can't find it in the Bible. Therefore, if we believe and practice that, our worship is in vain and we cannot go to heaven. That's what makes this a serious matter. 2 John verse 9 says, if we transgress the doctrine of Christ, go beyond it, we do not have God. And with all due respect to Tanya and her group, I believe they are transgressing, going beyond the doctrine of Christ, and therefore they don't have God. I believe they're sincere. I believe that Tanya is actually trying to help God's cause by preaching. But you know, in 1 Chronicles chapter 13, about verses 7 through 10, we have the story of Uzzah. The Ark of the Covenant, a big box with holy things in it, was being carried on some oxen. The oxen stumble, it's about to fall. Uzzah reaches up his hand, touches the ark just long enough to steady it, to keep it from falling. You'd think that was doing God a favor. That was a good thing that Uzzah did, but God struck him dead, Tanya. Now, he thought he was doing God a favor, helping God's cause, but because God had said, do not touch that ark, he was struck dead. Now, I believe Tanya's in the same situation. I believe she's sincerely trying to help God in his cause by preaching. But God has said, Tim, put up the first chart, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. I can't think of any topic in the Bible, and that includes being baptized to be saved, I cannot think of any topic in the Bible that's more clearly taught than this verse teaches that women ought not be preachers. I cannot fathom how God could have made it any clearer that women are not to preach. It's a command, let your women keep silence in the churches, and the reason is given, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. He goes on to say at the end of verse 35, it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Now that is my position this morning. That is exactly my position. That is what I'm contending for. And I maintain that that proves my proposition, and I could sit down right now, and that would be enough. But since I do have 20 minutes, let me go on and explain further. First of all, number three, Tim, what do I mean by the phrase in the church? You know, it says it's a shame for women to speak in the church. It is not permitted of them to speak. Let your women keep silence in the churches. What do I mean? Obviously, it's saying at a particular place and time. Now, we're not talking about at home. It's fine for the women to speak there. We're talking about that the women cannot speak in the church. And what do I think that means? I mean in the church assembly. The Greek word here, Strong's 1577, that the King James Version translates church in 1 Corinthians 14:35 is translated assembly in other translations. Wigram Green defines the word as an assembled church. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 23, which is just a few verses previous to this, it kind of gives us the context of this. It says, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place. Like, for example, in many churches, we have the 11 a.m. preaching service when all come together into one place. Tanya, if you're like most churches, about 10 o'clock, 9 or 9:30, your congregation comes together, but not all in one place. They come together for what's commonly called Sunday school or Bible classes. And they're in separate classes, usually arranged by age. I'm not talking about that. I don't contend that the Bible teaches that the women can't speak there. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when the whole church comes together into one place. Verse 23. Say you have the Sunday school at 10. At 11, if you're like most churches, everybody comes together for the worship service, where you have the preaching, perhaps the Lord's Supper. That's what I'm talking about, when a woman is not supposed to speak. And I know that Tanya, since she, quote, has been recently promoted to pastor, she speaks in that service quite a bit, I imagine. I believe, Tanya, that you're violating this passage when you speak in that service. And I love you. And so the reason I want to warn you about that, and also let the members of the audience know, is because you can't go to heaven if you're not doing what the Bible says. Let me illustrate. If I were to I live in Huntsville, and somebody wanted to know how to get to Nashville. And I said, well, you drive west till you get to Interstate 65, and then you turn north, and you go 2 hours, you'll be in Nashville. Suppose they went out west to Interstate 65 and turned south. Okay? They wouldn't end up in Nashville, they'd end up in Birmingham. Maybe you could say the opposite place. The Bible is like the roadmap to heaven. If we follow it, we'll make it to heaven, based upon the death of Christ, his sacrifice. But if we do the very opposite of what the Bible says, Tanya, then we're going to end up in the opposite place. You know what I mean? And I believe you're doing it the very opposite of what God says in this passage. Not on every point, not in everything that you do. I probably think that many things you do are good. But at least on this point, you're doing the very opposite of what God said. He says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. It's a shame for women to speak in the church. But Tanya does that very thing. Now, I do not mean, Tanya, the church building necessarily. A church may meet in the home, or they could meet under a tree. But suppose they're meeting under a tree. When the whole church comes together in one place for that, what we call the preaching service, then the women are not to speak. Wouldn't necessarily have anything to do with the church building. They may not even have one. What is the issue, Tanya? To help you understand, the issue is not, may women preach? Now, that may surprise you. We many times use the word preach to mean teach the gospel publicly, like in the church service. Okay, and that's fine. That's how it's used today. But in the Bible, preach wasn't really used that way exactly. Preach in the Bible just means teach the gospel. Even if a woman was just teaching another woman privately, if she was teaching her the gospel as opposed to just teaching mathematics, it would rightfully be called preaching in the Bible. So I'm not opposed to women preaching in the sense of just teaching the gospel. Okay? I believe a woman can and ought to teach the gospel under certain circumstances. But it has to be outside the assembly of the church. And we'll talk some more about 1 Timothy 2 in a minute. For example, in Acts 8 verses 1 and 4, the Bible teaches that the church was being persecuted and the church was scattered. And verse 4 says the whole church went everywhere preaching the word. That was everybody. Matter of fact, the main leaders, the apostles, were pretty much the only ones left in Jerusalem. The rest of the church, we call them the lay members, they were the ones scattered abroad, and it says they went everywhere and preached. Now, for the members of the churches of Christ here and others, let us be a lesson to us in personal work. It's not just the preachers that should be doing the personal work. It's every Christian should get out and preach the word. And in this includes the women. The women went and preached the word. Did they preach in the church assembly? No. Did they teach over a man, like lead a class with men in it? No, 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12. But every Christian, including the women, preached. We're not opposed to that, Tanya. We would encourage you, as you learn and obey the truth, to try to teach others. Ladies, though, like in a ladies' Bible class situation, and when you do, you would be teaching the gospel, preaching as it were. And so, Tanya, when you come to a passage like Acts 2, verse 17, where it says, your daughter shall prophesy, which means preach through inspiration, we're not opposed to that verse. We agree with that verse. We agree that women at that time did prophesy, preach the gospel through inspiration, but they did not speak in the church assembly and did not teach over the man, 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12. As a matter of fact, Acts 21, verses 8 through 9 lets us know that Philip had four virgin daughters which prophesied. So they taught the gospel. We're not opposed to the women teaching the gospel, but they're not supposed to speak in the church. How do you reconcile that? Women were prophesying, yet they're not to speak in the church. Well, it's easy to harmonize those two verses. When they prophesied, they didn't do it in the church. That's easy. As a matter of fact, in Titus 2, 3 through 4, the Bible commands the aged women to teach the younger women, to teach the gospel, aspects of the gospel, but how to love their husbands, be keepers at home, and so forth. There are other passages that teach that women should be teachers of the gospel. So it is scriptural for women to teach the gospel as long as they don't do it in the assembly of the church, 1 Corinthians 14:34 and 35, and as long as they don't teach over the man, 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12. We'll talk about that more in a minute. A woman could teach a ladies' Bible class at the church building or at her home, or a class with children in it. The issue is today, may women preach, teach the gospel in the assembly of the church. My opponent, Tanya, teaches that women may preach in the church. I contend that they may not. Now, 1 Corinthians 14:34 and 35, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. What is the command actually here? Keep silence, verse 34. Not permitted to speak, verse 34. Shame to speak, verse 35. That's what the women are told not to do. To whom does it apply? Your women, verse 34. By the way, that second person plural It's not third person, so it's not just talking about the prophet's wife, as somebody says. It's second person. Second person means you're talking about the people you're talking to. Who is the book written to? The Corinthian church as a whole. So it's not, it wasn't written to the prophets, therefore this is talking about the prophets' wives, your women. It was written to the Corinthian church as a whole, so your women refer to all the women there, not just the prophets' wives. Women, verse 35, that's women in general. It's a shame for women, period. Wherever they are, whether they're in the Corinthian church, or at the North Huntsville Church of Christ, or at the Lake Road Church of Christ in Dyersburg, all women should not speak in the church. When does the command apply? That's important. When? If, therefore, the whole church should come together in one place. Verse 23. Raise it up a little bit, Tim. In the churches, verse 34. And we've seen that's defined, that word, as an assembled church. In the church, verse 35. Tanya teaches that women may speak in the church. This verse says that women are not to speak in the church. And so next chart, Tim. 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35 condemns a woman speaking to or addressing the assembly. This would include, number one, preaching to the church assembly. And that's the issue today. But I'd like to elaborate a little bit. Notice it didn't just say it's a shame for women to preach in the church. It said it's wrong for her to speak in the church. So not only could she not preach to the church assembly, she should not lead a public prayer in the church assembly. That would be speaking in the church. Now, a woman does pray in the assembly, but silently as the man leads. He chooses the word, and the whole congregation prays. But he's the only one speaking audibly. She could not even give a testimony, Sonia, in the church assembly, as many of the Pentecostal churches do, Julian. She shouldn't give that testimony in the church because it doesn't just say, Julian, that it's wrong for her to preach in the church. It says it's wrong for her to speak in the church. She should not speak to the assembly. Now, I'm not talking about, let's say she's sitting up front and she whispers to her child, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to take you out back and spank you. She's not speaking to the assembly. But if she got up and read the funeral announcements, I've seen that done in a denominational church, where a woman got up and read the funeral announcements. She's speaking to the assembly. That would be forbidden by this passage. She may not, Tanya, even speak in tongues in the church assembly. You guys believe that's for today, and that's what the debate was about Thursday and Friday night. But back then, when they had tongues, she was not to speak in tongues in the church assembly. Now, if she spoke in tongues or prophesied outside the church assembly, that may be fine and good at that time when they had those things. But not then. They could not. Then when they had the tongues, she could not do that in the church assembly. She could not prophesy in the church assembly. She could not make announcements to the church assembly. I've seen some churches of Christ where they let the women make announcements. But that's not right because she's speaking to the church assembly. Matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 14:35 says that this even goes so far as to say that she's not to ask a question to the church assembly. Let's say the preacher at the end of his lesson says, are there any questions from the audience? And then he fields the questions. We do that every now and then. A woman should not ask a question like that, publicly speaking. Now, I wouldn't be opposed to her writing it down and being passed up, and then the preacher read the question, but she should not raise her voice to ask the question for the assembly to hear. Now, a man could, but a woman couldn't, because it says, if she will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Some say, oh, she's trying to teach by asking the question. Now, you can teach by asking the question, but that's not the point here. She's trying to learn something by asking this question. She's not trying to teach. And so even if she's just asking a question for the assembly to learn something, she's not to do that. It says, if she will learn anything, let her ask her husband at home. But I went into all this detail, and perhaps we won't need to bring all this up in the rest of the debate. If there is one thing that 1 Corinthians 14, 34, and 35 condemns, it condemns a woman preaching to the church assembly. And that is exactly what Tanya says is okay. Now let's turn to 1 Timothy 2. I've already mentioned it two or three times. 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12. It is not teaching exactly the same thing as 1 Corinthians 14, 34, and 35. It is a little bit different, but it is similar in a lot of ways. The difference is that 1 Corinthians 14, 35, 34, and 35 is more restrictive and applies only in the church assembly, whereas 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12 applies everywhere. Like verse 9 and 10 says the woman ought to dress modestly. Where does that apply? Everywhere. And so does verse 11 and 12. That applies everywhere. It says, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not or allow not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man but to be in silence. Now that applies everywhere. That would not necessarily prohibit a woman from teaching a man, say, just in a one-on-one conversation and they just happen to be talking about the Bible. Aquila and Priscilla did that with Apollos in Acts 18. We're not talking about that. This says she's not to teach over the man. In other words, like in the Sunday school time hour, let's say, and we have the separated Bible classes. If we have a class that has men in it, then the woman should not lead that class because then she would be teaching over a man. This would apply at home. So it had nothing to do with the church. It's just a bunch of Christians got together and had a Bible class over at Alex's house. Men and women, then a woman should not lead that class because this passage teaches that she's not to teach nor usurp authority over the man. What is the command? Not to teach over the man. To whom does it apply? The woman. When does the command apply? At all times. But this would include the church assembly. Now, why do I say that? Because in the church assembly, when we have the preaching service and the man is up there preaching, let's say Alex is preaching, we might not think of it this way, but that is a class. Okay, we have a teacher, the preacher as we call him, and the people in the audience, in the auditorium, are the students of the class. And so this verse would also forbid her from preaching in the assembly because she would be teaching over men. Do you see that? Because there would be men in the audience in the church assembly. So 1 Timothy 2 condemns a woman teaching over a man. This would include leading a Bible class that has men in it, church assembly or not, preaching to the church assembly. Would condemn both those things. My opponent teaches that women may preach to the church, which includes men. This verse forbids that. And then what I have next, verse number 13, is that right, Tim? How much time, Alex? 4? Now, everybody looking at 1 Corinthians 14, 34, and 35, and Tanya, look at that with us. I believe that all of Tanya's arguments today are going to be made in an effort to prove that it is not a shame for women to speak in the church. That's what she's trying to prove today. It is not a shame for women to speak in the church. Even though 1 Corinthians 14, 35b plainly says it is a shame for women to speak in the church. That's what I contend for, and it plainly says that. She's going to be contending for the very opposite of that. It is not a shame for women to speak in the church. Verse 35, it says, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak." I contend for that. She's going to contend for the very opposite of that. Here's what she's going to contend for today. Don't let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is permitted unto them to speak. That's exactly what she's going to be contending for. And I believe Tanya will admit that when she gets up here. Tanya, when you get up here, tell us. Check off this box, at least tell us. Are you going to be contending it is a shame for women to speak in the church, or are you going to be teaching it is not a shame for women to speak in the church? Which one? I'd appreciate it if you would do that. Tanya teaches it is not a shame for women to speak in the church. God says it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Who will you accept? Number 24, I believe, right, Tim? Now, this is not exactly on the subject, but it's very related, especially since Tanya is, quote, the pastor at the Pentecostal church in Alton, Illinois, where she is. May women be pastors? Pastors or elders are leaders or overseers over the congregation. We have this mentioned, like, for example, in Acts 20, verse 17. It says, "From Miletus he sent to the elders and called the elders to the church." And then in verse 28, it says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." 1 Peter 5, verses 1 and 2 pretty much teaches the same thing. It says, to the elders who he's talking to in verse 1, he says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you," verse 2, "taking the oversight thereof." So the elders take the oversight of the congregation, they're overseers, and they feed the church of God. Okay? Now, the Bible precludes a woman from taking this kind of leadership role. She's not to be an overseer over men, okay? Because 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3 says, "The head of the woman is the man." Now, other places like Ephesians 5 right here teach that the head of the wife is the husband, but 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3 is a little more broad than that. That teaches the head of the woman is the man. That's even more broad than husband-wife relationship. And so since the husband is the head is an illustration, an analogy. My head is the boss of my body. Head means like the boss. So women are supposed to take men are supposed to take leadership role over women. 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12, "Let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." Women are not to usurp authority over the men. A bishop or an elder or a pastor must then be the husband of one wife. Why? Because it's a leadership role. So it can't be a woman. Must be a husband, Tanya. Are you a husband? The woman's role is not to be the leader of the congregation, is what I'm getting at. These passages teach that the men are to take a leadership role. Does it mean a man is any better than a woman? No, sirree. Just means they have different roles. Does it make a woman better than a man because she has the child, the baby, and the men can't? No, we're still equal as Christians. We just have different roles. We're equal as Christians, but our role, the men's role, is to be the leaders in society and congregation. That is not the woman's role. And so, Tanya, in being a pastor, you are violating these passages. Thank you very much, and I want you to listen very carefully to what Tanya has to say.